detail, even though you've probably done it before, just so everybody knows. So Avner has been here once or twice? Twice? Yeah, but it's been a long time, right? A long, long time. Long time no see. We're just so happy. Aren't you glad for all the speakers the Lord's been bringing to us lately? I mean, literally some of the choice people in the whole earth. And I assure you, this is one of them. And he lives in Israel, and he'll explain all that. But I had a dream about him years ago, and it was just before he came to us. And I had a dream about him, and I saw other people in the dream who I still don't know, but I saw their names. And afterward, people explained to me who they were, what they did, you know, and stuff. And I saw him comforting and encouraging them. And I saw him going to all the leaders in my dream. He was just encouraging all the leaders in Israel, the Christian leaders in Israel, just encouraging them, you know, as if he was like a patriarch. Well, he lives in Beersheba, so that works out pretty good, you know. But like a patriarch in Israel, like a father figure to leadership in Israel, which I think is probably a good one of the descriptions he has and his current job and what he does in terms of his ministry in Israel for all these years, right? So would you say that's fair? Yeah. So, Lord, we bless Avner. I just bless him. I just want to thank you for his presence here along with his lovely wife. We just thank you for the worship and the music and everything they bring. And I just pray whatever you had in mind for him to share today would just come out in a wonderful way. And I pray we'd get to know him all over again. And I just pray you'd bless him. Even beyond this meeting, in all his travels here in the United States, and his children as well, Lord, cover them as well. Amen.
Amen. It's good to be with you guys. We have a connection with Vineyard that goes back to when somebody gave me a book by John Wimber, and I carried it around in a paper bag for a while. Because I went to the same school as a guy named Jack Deere, Dallas Seminary, and you had to carry books like that in paper bags, you know. But the Lord really touched us through John Wimber's ministry and others in the Vineyard and really transformed our lives and set us out on a path. And so we're eternally thankful for that, and coming to a place that has some of that water from the well still is a tremendous encouragement. And you were singing about how kind of reminds me of a spiritual Beach Boys type of thing, you know, let's do it again. You remember that song? Right? God, you can do it again. You did it once, you can do it again. And so that's what some people call restoration. And we're going to be talking about that a little bit here, that it doesn't only deal with signs and wonders and God's healing and compassion, but it deals with his promises about the Jewish people and what that's going to mean. So I want to start off with Jeremiah 29:11. This is a verse some of us know. We have it maybe on a little plaque in our house, and it says in Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." What an incredible promise. It's something that we can claim for ourselves as from the God who promised that. But I want to look with you at something behind this for a second, okay? Anyone have Daniel in their Bible? You know where that is? Book of Daniel? So in Daniel chapter 9, verse 1 and 2, he's far away from the land of Israel. He's in exile. And look what it says here. In the first year of Dariush, that's how you say it in Iranian and Persian, the son of Ataxerxes, of the line of the Medaim, who was made king over the realm of the Chasidim. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of the years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. So Daniel's an official. He's a government leader. He counsels the king. Speaks Hebrew, speaks Persian, probably he speaks Assyrian, maybe a few other languages, Aramaic as well. He had to speak. You know, there's an old story, but I don't have time for that. It's a great joke, another time. But what's happening is he's studying the words of Jeremiah. Jeremiah was his contemporary. Jeremiah stayed behind in Egypt when Daniel went to Babylon and Persia. And he's reading the prophetic words that Jeremiah wrote down. Not in a book. Today we call Bibles. It comes from the town in Lebanon called Byblos, because that's where they took pieces of parchment and stuck them together instead of a scroll. But in the Bible, people had scrolls. So he's reading a scroll of the words of Jeremiah. And he runs into something there that talks about 70 years. Now, you know, this year is the 70th year of Israel, and this year is the year where the President of the United States decided with a pen and a phone to move the embassy to Jerusalem in accordance with... It was in accordance with the ruling of Congress from many years ago. But the ruling of Congress had a little clause in it, like the Santa Claus, you know, or the sanity clause, that said you can postpone it every 6 months if you feel you don't have the guts to do it. So that's kind of what happened ever since it was passed. Right? So he did that, and that's a significant thing, 70 years here, 70 years there. But it's interesting, what about this passage? So let's jump back to Jeremiah 29, right where we were, verse 11. Let's start a little bit before verse 11, Jeremiah 29. For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and cause you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I have toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Boom! All of a sudden, that beautiful verse, which is generic, you could buy it at Home Depot, put it in your garden. All of a sudden we realize, wow, it's not just a generic verse. It's a specific prophecy. And God said, I'm going to exile the Jews from Jerusalem to Babylon. I'm going to bring them back to Jerusalem. And so God's goodness is seen in him restoring the Jewish people back to their land. That's the context here. And one time I was taught a text without a context is a pretext. Now, the thing is, God's love for us, like we were singing today, is not a pretext. That's his love for us. But one of the things he wants for us to do when we use the Bible is understand his stuff. So when we say, wow, the same God who restored the Jewish people back, he's faithful. He loves the Jewish people. So in the same way, he's faithful in my life. He's going to meet my needs too, just like he did it in history and just like he promised he's going to do in history. You see the difference there? One is just what can I take from it? And the other thing is maybe God laid hold of me so that he can use me to lay hold of the Jewish people. See, that's a plan in the scripture that most of us haven't heard about that much, but it's right there. I wish I had time. There's a book I have in the back called Israel, the Key to World Revival, that talks about how believers can hone in on this and understand this plan. Let's look back in Jeremiah 29 just for a second here. 29, we looked at 10, we looked at 11. Then in verse 14, same context. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I've driven you, says the Lord. And I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive. So God is saying, one day I'm going to take the Jewish people back from Babylon. I'm going to take them back from Iran. I'm going to take them back from England and from America. And I'm going to bring them back to the land of Israel. So what we see in our day is God bringing the Jewish people back to their land without belief mostly. But he's doing it. He's the one doing it. So if you say, how can God bring an unbelieving people back? It's called grace, guys. Grace is unmerited favor. And God prophesied he would do this. And it's part of a step going forward. So if you look a little further, Jeremiah 31, okay? 31, verse 7 and 10. This is one of the commandments, it's kind of like a sealed orders. Corrie ten Boom had a book called Sealed Orders. And in just a minute or two, my wife Rachel is going to come up and share about Corrie ten Boom and what it meant to her and what it might mean to some of you. In Jeremiah 31, 7 and 10. Here we go. In my Bible, it's in Hebrew, so it has different pages where you turn it. Thus says the Lord in verse 7, sing with gladness for Jacob and shout among the chief of the nations. Proclaim, give praise, and say, O Lord, save your people, the remnant of Israel. So this is a message written in Hebrew, 600 BC, written to the nations who didn't read it until 100 AD, and even then they didn't pay attention mostly. And he's saying, I want the nations to proclaim a message. What's the message? Save your people, the remnant of Israel. So that message, which took 2,600 years to get to you right now, is from God's heart to you right now. And he says, I want you to be praying, proclaiming and worshiping and saying, Lord, save the Jewish people. Okay, that's in the Bible. People died for this. They gave their lives to pass it on. It's a message to you. It's written to the nations. Are you the nations? Of course you are. Am I a Jew? Of course I am. Is there anyone left? No. Just the two of us. Okay. Verse 10. Hear the word of the Lord, O nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, he who scattered Israel will gather him. Let me repeat that. He who scattered Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd does his flock. This is a message, a commandment given for us as believers, Gentile believers in this case, to pray and say, I believe that God scattered Israel and God is bringing Israel back. That's kind of like a declaration of faith, you know, like the Nicene Creed, but this is the Jeremiah Creed right over here that we're supposed to declare. It's supposed to be part of our spiritual life. God is working in history. Not only that he loves me and has a wonderful plan for me, but that's based on the fact that he loves Israel and has a wonderful plan for her. So it's nobody gets left out here. But God says, I want you to honor my order because it's important. If you don't understand why it's important, then I suggest you read the Bible. But if you don't want to read the Bible, then you can read my book, which is bringing you all the Bible passages there as well. Rachel, why don't you come up here? Where is she? Right over there. She's over here. There we go. You come on up here. No, you got to come up here too. There we go.
I just want to say, with like Avner, that we're so happy to be here. The Vineyard played a huge part in our life and changed what God did in my life. Showed me that I had a call to intercession. And I just want to share really briefly. Avner's Jewish. I'm Gentile. So I'm like most of you, I think. A Ruth. I have a heart like Ruth. And so as a Gentile, I want to speak to you just a little bit. Avner has a really interesting testimony. He came to the Lord through drugs and the occult and the hippie times. My testimony's very different. I was raised in a believing family in Minnesota. I'm the oldest of seven children. And my parents were church-going, Bible-reading people. So when I grew up, we didn't have a television in our house in the 1960s. And my parents would read the Bible to us every night. And they would start with Genesis all the way through. And one of the foundational building blocks of my life is my father told me the Jewish people are still God's chosen people. And Yeshua's coming back. And before he comes back, there will be a national turning of the Jewish people to him. And that captured my attention, even as a child, because it was a huge drama that's being played out that started a long time ago, and we're in the final chapters of that drama. And my parents, in the absence of a television at home, would read also another book. They would read the Bible and then choose another book. They would read Pilgrim's Progress, or a book called Prison to Praise. This was in the 1960s. Some of you people in my generation know what I'm talking about. And then one book they read was The Hiding Place, and Avner just mentioned that. I think most everybody knows about The Hiding Place. It's very briefly the story of a Dutch family who laid their lives on the line to save Jewish people's lives. And when I heard that story when I was like 9 or 10 years old, it was like a movie playing in my head. In the absence of a television or a movie, I watched that movie in my head, and I said, that woman was a hero, and I would like to be like her. And so I knew that the Lord had called me to the Jewish people from my childhood. I'm 61 years old now, and I married Avner and moved to Israel when I was 22. So I've spent two-thirds of my life in Israel, but also just with Jewish people my whole life. And I was captured by God's heart for Israel, and the Lord showed me actually in the vineyard that I had a call to intercession. And I love this lady, Jill Austin. Does anybody remember her? She told a really good story. She said, she told the story of this little old lady who's in an awesome worship meeting, and everyone is just dancing and so happy, and this little old lady's in the back, and she's crying. And someone came up to her and said, are you okay? And this little old lady said, honey, have you never seen an intercessor? And so somewhere when we carry Israel, we're laughing and crying at the same time because the story's not over. And as Gentiles, and as the church or the body of Christ or the body of Messiah, whatever thing you want to call, we are in the middle between God and Israel. And we are looking at two offended parties, and we're right between them. And God, because of Israel's sin, through history, off and on, turned his face away from the Jewish people. The Jewish people, because of their sin, turned themselves away from God. And God called us to be in the middle. And he called us to extend a hand to him and a hand to Israel and stand in the gap. And one reason I'm so glad to be here is that you guys have a prayer room where Israel has been on the wall for a long time. And that's why we're welcome here, because of Kent and Mike and because of your hearts. The Jewish people are a unique and priority people. Scripture says that. It's not politically correct to say that, but they have a special place. The adulterous wife and the jilted lover, and we're called in the middle. And as a woman who's given birth, and I speak to you women who can relate, there's something called travail, where you are travailing. And Paul talks about travailing prayer, where there's groanings that we cannot even find the words. But our culture travail for God's purposes for Israel. And I just want to encourage those of you who are already doing that, just strengthen your hands and say, keep going, because it's going to come to an end eventually. I lived in Pittsburgh as a teenager. What happened in Pittsburgh is a very significant event. I know there's mass shootings now happening everywhere, but a mass shooting of Jewish people in America, I thought I would never see that. And I think we need to wake up and realize what time in history we are. And like Corrie ten Boom, and I'm almost done, her great-grandfather started a prayer meeting for Israel 100 years before World War II. 100 years, her family was praying for the Jewish people's salvation. So when it came around to her, she was prayed up. Her ancestors had prayed up. She was ready to lay her life down for the Jewish people. And she did save Jewish people. And you guys know mostly the story. So Avner and I had a chance to go to Amsterdam and see that actual hiding place. And so I just want to encourage you, because you're here, there's Jewish people everywhere around you, as you well know. Ask the Lord how to shine the light of Yeshua to them, how to pray for them, and how to be ready to lay down your life for them if that day will come. So.
Great job, buddy. So we're going to transition just a little bit, and we're going to, in about 30 seconds, we're going to put on this movie. It's from Ezekiel 37, and he never sounded so good. This is called Dry Bones Boogie, and it's about the vision of the dry bones, and then we're going to conclude with some comments about what that means.
Thank you. bridge to a pile of dead, 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 dead bones. How will these bones live? Crossroads of Highway 60 and Highway Number 1.
So one of the interesting things about the fact how God has been stirring the prophetic in America and across the world is it may start here in a sense, but it ends up in Israel. And the whole point of returning the Jewish people, it says in Ezekiel 37, to the land of Israel in unbelief, is that God is going to fill the Jewish people with his spirit. We're going to become believers, the whole nation. And we're going to turn into a mighty army. In Hebrew it says, Chayal gadol me'od me'od. An army, a big one, much, much. So if you're not sure why God would want Israel to be an army, read the news. Ezekiel 34 through 39 is the context, and basically there's war in the Middle East, an attempt to destroy Israel, take back the land and claim it for others. And God says, no, my name, my covenant, my promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are connected to that land, that people, and the cursing and blessing to every nation based on how they treat them. So part of what we're doing in Israel, we have a ministry there called Final Frontier Ministries. If you remember that program, it says Jews, the Final Frontier. Some of you know it. It's called Star Trek. Wasn't that the line? And that's what the Bible says. It says when the Jewish people come to believe in Yeshua, in Jesus, there will be life from the dead for the entire world. There will be much greater riches for the nations. So we're putting our finger on that. We've been living in Israel for 40 years now. We're involved in discipling and training and encouraging and teaching, not only there but around the world as well, like here as well. We've developed an institute called the Ezekiel 37 Institute, which is in Hebrew right now. It's going to be translated into English and put on media as well, of how to train, how to get ready for these things. Because like Noah, he didn't go down and buy an ark. He built it. And we're being called to prepare for changes and shakings, not only in the movie 2012, but in terms of daily living here and there. So we encourage you to be praying about this because you're called to pray. It says that in Jeremiah. We're encouraging you to proclaim in worship that you serve a God who focuses on restoring the Jewish people, and he wants the nations to thank him for that. Just did an article for a Swiss charismatic journal taking the book of Isaiah. 66 chapters, over 40 times it says that the greatest explosion of praise on the part of the nations is going to be because of what God does for Israel. So it's something really amazing. It's really amazing. And you can actually invest in that in prayer, in other ways too, but in prayer is the first thing I would really encourage you to do. Take the scriptures, and when it says Israel, say, hey, God, maybe you actually mean Israel. I'm going to pray about it and ask you to do those things. And if you remember us, we'd appreciate that. If you want to hear from us, there's a little book table and a newsletter you can sign up for. There's a book called How to Be Messianic Without Becoming Meshuga, which means crazy. Jews, Arabs in the Middle East, the Messianic Perspective, and Israel, the Key to World Revival, stuff like that. So bless you. Thank you for the time. And may the Lord encourage you and us in these things as we labor together. Amen.
So, Avner, you'll be there for a while with your stuff, right? So they can go back. And let's all stand. Boy, I tell you, I don't know about you, but every time I listen to him speak, it just stirs some deep, deep things. You know, and if you're my age, especially, you remember, first of all, you remember the bands and the music and the people and some of that. But also, I remember at the time, just the strange events that have unfolded in my teens toward Israel as a believing teenager, just the amazing things. And then when I was in college, these things I was telling the people last night, I just remembered so distinctly the this whole thing, and later has been proven. There's a couple of incredible books on it, but in 73, the Soviet Union actually tried to invade Israel. They actually had the thing laid out clearly. We know that historically now. We wondered, you know, at the time, but it was a huge issue at the time. And other issues, you know, in the 60s, just these major turnings and changes, the wars and the whole things that has meant, and Israel just grown and grown before us. But this whole idea that Avner was speaking of, which really grips my soul, is that the gospel, you think about it, it came, all of us are here because Jews witnessed, because Jews laid their life down. They were the first recipients of the good news of Jesus Christ. And these apostles and the Peters and the Johns and all of them scattered all, and all the 70 and hundreds of leaders scattered all over the world, undergoing horrible persecution and being killed. That's why we have the gospel, because of them, right? And of course, through the centuries, gospel's gone through the world. And I've always been trying to, in my mind, understand the end times from two perspectives. Avner is just, I had a great time with him last night. Bruce, I'm looking at you back there. We need to have you guys back here at least once a year, and I want you to speak in the school of ministry. You got to do that. You have to, because you heard me talk all the time about this gospel of the kingdom be preached in the whole world, and then the end comes, right? Every tribe, tongue, and nation. So we've been very busy about that, the life of this church, and even before in my ministry. But the other part of it is what happens in Israel, which Israel is undergoing such a strange transformation. And I remember, and many of you can remember, prophecies about the Eastern European and Russian Jews coming back down to Israel, right? Being released to come to Israel, which, you know, at the time it just seemed impossible, the Iron Curtain and everything. And then all of a sudden, boom, that thing shatters and they came back in the 90s. Probably late 80s and 90s, they started, and Russia and the Eastern European let them back. And it was prophesied in my time. I remember being prophesied in the church through prophets that this was going to happen, right? And then only to find out now in those times that actually those Jews that came down caused a startling change. It was like, Avner was telling me, it was like 5,000 of them, probably Jews in the country at the Christian Jews at the time. And then when these guys came and they added like another 15,000 of them, because many of them were converted in Russia to Christianity and came down, and they revolutionized. And now the numbers are growing and growing of saved Jews in Israel. Who would have ever believed that the land would be so full and on its way to being much more full of Christians, even as we speak? It's already a sign of wonder, but we haven't seen anything yet. And as this begins to happen, and as we throw our heart and prayer and finances and everything toward Israel, and I've got a couple of great people, not only Avner, but there's a couple of great Jews are doing great work, Christian Jews, apostolic people doing work in Israel right now. I never dreamed I would hear that word, Jewish apostle, but it's happening now as we speak. Little churches starting under leadership, under spiritual fathers, and the times we live in are so amazing. I think every one of us could say, just in this whole political season, you don't need to say much more of this. We're living in very weird times, okay? And it's been that way for a long time. But, man, I tell you, when you throw Israel into this and what's going on there, I just want us to all wake up and understand we're living in very strange times. And they are a critical time to. They help us understand where we are in redemptive history. No, and so there's two sides to it. One side is the gospel of the kingdom to be preached to all the nations, and on the other side is this whole thing of Jews coming to Christ and what's on God's timetable for Israel. And so, my, what a great, what an amazing season. And just him coming back and Rachel coming back and just even this little thing, just talking to us and about that, it just stirs something up so deep in my soul. It's just so amazing. And as you know, Janice and I had some time to go to Israel in 2015, and it was just, it was so amazing to me just to be there and walk through those lands. And some of you have done it recently as well. But more than that, we have a call. And that's the most important thing we should get out of this. And so I just released, I want to do this tonight, today, just like we were doing worship. I want to just make this more than just, oh, nice job, Avner, really good job, you know. And maybe I'll buy your book or something, you know. I want you to do something deeper. I want you to give room for the Holy Spirit to do something deeper. I did that last night. I just sat for a minute, you know, and I think maybe some of you might want to even come up in the front. You may be hearing this for the very first time. It makes a lot of sense. Jews bless us. We bless the Jews. And then the specific wording is, what could this be but, and said Romans, life from the dead. I'm very curious. Avner writes about this in his book. What's life from the dead mean? Well, it just means something huge, right? Even if you don't know specifically how, it's just a major shakeup, a major turning of events with regard to Christianity and God. So if you want to just pause before that, I just encourage you to do that. Just as we're doing worship here, why don't you just come up to the front if you like, or you can stay in your seat, but don't go right away. Just ask this question. Then if you have to go, feel free, but just take a moment and say, just Jesus, I ask you now, awaken my heart on these issues and show me tomorrow and the next day what I can do about it. And you know what? If you ask that question in this season with a fully intent of your heart and you ask it fully, I'll guarantee you God will not leave that unanswered for what you can do. It may be a trip there. It may be financial assistance. It may mean that you are nice to our rabbi, which, by the way, we have a synagogue that we rent to. By the way, I don't know if you knew that. Right over here, we own these buildings, if you didn't know. And right, we rented, years ago, we made a decision to rent to a synagogue there, which is really odd, you know. But, you know, they get more prayer toward that synagogue, man. I tell you, who knows what's going to happen? Because they're right on our friends. I pray over that synagogue all the time. I know the rabbi. He and I have some very interesting discussion questions. By the way, he's an avid Trump guy. It's so strange because he says some of my, well, I won't say what he quote, what he said about his fellow Jews that don't understand what's going on. But anyway, but the ramifications of the Jews, the ramifications of this whole thing, just let the Holy Spirit just rest on you, okay? If you need to go, feel free. You can do it from your seat. I like coming up to the front because it kind of helps you just say, okay, I'm taking a moment in time. I'm going to ask God, I want my heart awakened on this whole issue of the salvation of the Jews. There are more Christian Jews in Israel right now than centuries, and approaching the time, Avner was telling me, approaching the time of more Jews in all of world history, because right now, of course, the early church had a number of Jews in the land at the time, right? Salvation. But right now we're in a time where 2,000 years later, now the numbers are coming back up to the time where it was in the early church, and it's going to go beyond. I really go beyond soon. That in itself is like, oh, what in the world's going on here? We live in very strange times. Lord, I want to ask you formally right here on behalf of everyone, I pray that our church would formally embrace this understanding of blessing Israel. And all its ramifications, whatever it means, I pray we would do that. I pray you would give us extra unction and inspiration and shape. And I pray individually you'd speak to us, and corporately you would speak to us. And I pray we'd be a part of this amazing redemptive plan in the nations. We'd be a part of it. We'd have a part in it, Lord. We'd play some part, small or big, but we'd play a part, and we would be a committed, and we would do that. It's part of our missions thing, and it's part of this end time plan for salvation for the whole world. Even life from the dead. Amen. So stay as long as you like. Just make sure you do a little business before the Lord before you go. And buy as many of Avner's books as you possibly. That's the first thing I did. Before they all got sold out, I sent somebody back there to buy books for me. So do that on your way out. God bless you. Amen.